Well, our topic today is one that you all love and just really are very concerned and care about. What do I do when, or what do you do when you're overwhelmed? I hear it all the time. I hear it more than an average of once a week. Somebody either in the church or at the grocery store in the community always tells me that they're overwhelmed. It seems to be something that's happening within our society, and some people may think that it only happens in America where there's so much hustle and bustle and so much pressure. But I want you to know that it's been going on for thousands of years. Each generation, people have felt overwhelmed. There's a major character in the Bible. He wrote a whole lot of the Bible. His name is Isaiah, and he said this, "Lord, I am overwhelmed. Please come to my help." Do you relate with that? Do you relate with Isaiah there? A lot of things can cause us to be overwhelmed in this life. Maybe some of you are overwhelmed by parenting. Have you ever felt overwhelmed by your children? Maybe you can identify with this parent who said, "My teenage son kept a hamster in his room. At first, the smell was terrible, but then the hamster got used to it." Yeah, can you relate to that? Maybe you're overwhelmed by your grown children. Bill Cosby has a great line. He says, "In the entire animal kingdom, human beings are the only ones who allow their grown offspring to come home." It's crazy, I'll tell you. Maybe you're overwhelmed, or I'm becoming overwhelmed, with the issue of my old age, and as my body seems to kind of let me down. There was an 80-year-old guy who could still hit the ball, his golf ball, a mile. But the problem was his eyesight wasn't too good. I can identify with this guy. And he couldn't see where the ball ultimately came down. And so he went to his doctor, and his doctor hooked him up with a 90-year-old guy who could see like an eagle. So the next day, the two of them, they go out on the golf course, and the 80-year-old, boom, he hits that ball. And he says, "Hey, did you see where it went?" The 90-year-old guy says, "I saw it the whole way." And the 80-year-old says, well, where is it?" "I can't remember." Aging, it can be overwhelming. A lot of things can overwhelm you. Guilt, grief, grudges, worry, responsibility, illness, circumstances, major snowfall in the middle of October, high gasoline prices, and this past week, presidential elections. But today we are going to look at a person in the Bible, a Bible character who teaches us much about being overwhelmed. This person is always talked about at Christmas time, but this is not a Christmas message. Although in some senses, for many people, and myself included, Christmas time seems to be an annual time that I get overwhelmed. So in some senses, maybe this is good that we're getting this message just before Christmas. Mary coped with many incidents of being overwhelmed in her life. God sent the angel Gabriel to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to Joseph. Gabriel said, "Greetings, favored woman." I always crack up whenever I see that "favored woman," because every time I always go, you know what? If I hear from God and he says, "You're favored," I go, "Watch out. The Lord is with you." You know you're in trouble when they say that, you know. Confused and disturbed. Circle that. Confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be frightened, Mary," the angel told her. "God has decided to bless you." To give you a context, Mary is 13 years old. In that culture at that time, they had prearranged marriages, and culturally, girls got married at 13, possibly 14, and can you believe you're an old maid if you're 15? And so you have to understand that we have this young teenage girl, and all of a sudden this angel appears, has a conversation with her, and says, "Guess what? You're pregnant. And you're pregnant with the Son of God." Okay. How would you react? I'm sure Mary had to think of the implications. I'm sure she basically sat back and said, this is really going to mess up my life. I wasn't really considering being pregnant before I'm married, being a good girl that she was. Well, there goes the engagement. Joseph probably won't stick around. The Old Testament law, what did it say? In these circumstances, there's a possibility of capital punishment. That has some implications. My reputation in the community, down the drain. You see, when I look at this and I say, hold it, this just doesn't seem to be what Christian life is, or what at least I think what a Christian life ought to be like. Instead of having something major that would really upset me, such as this, I always think of it as, well, it's supposed to be like a walk in the park. I have visions that life with Jesus is serene, peaceful, and just harmonious. This sounds like a disaster in the making. The Bible says she was confused and disturbed. I guess so. Now, there is another word for this feeling, and that is overwhelmed. And I want you to know that the overwhelming circumstances didn't stop with the pregnancy of Jesus. The Bible tells us that throughout Mary's life, she watched the things that happened in the life of her son, and there were many instances of being overwhelmed. So how did she handle overwhelming circumstances? What can I learn from Mary? Well, let God go. I better be able to read this right somewhere. I'm getting overwhelmed. Okay, I need to let go of my need to control the situation. Now, this is exactly the opposite of our tendencies. The more out of control I feel, the more I redouble my efforts to get things back under control. I try to micromanage. I try to hyper-control. I use force. I use my deep voice. I use willpower. I'm a guy. I can figure this out. I try to make it work. Here's the problem with so much of the stress in our lives. It is caused by trying to control the uncontrollable things. Now look at this uncontrollable issue with Mary. Mary is going to have a baby. Did you notice that God didn't have a consultation for a consensus? Gabriel didn't say to her, now let's discuss this, and if you so desire to pick to do this, or would you rather just kind of pass it on to some other virgin? You see? He didn't ask that. God, you know, Gabriel shows up and says, you're going to be pregnant with the Son of God. Mary wasn't asked what her input was at all. What happens when we have uncontrollable issues or uncontrollable things in our life? Our tendency, my tendency, is trying to micromanage it, trying to be the manager of the universe, trying to control my boss's attitude toward me, trying to manage my spouse's attitude toward me. Let me tell you, after 25 years of marriage, I gave that one up. Trying to control the will of my children, trying to control the traffic, trying to control the weather. It's crazy. The harder we try to control things, it seems the more uncontrollable we feel life gets. In fact, I maintain for many people, it's a vicious cycle. Things are out of control. You try to control them. It appears that they even become more out of control, which upsets us even more, and we double our tendency to try to control them. And we become overwhelmed, and the sense of becoming overwhelmed even gets worse. Most of your life is out of your control. We continue with the habits, a product of the tape running through mentally through our mind. So many of us do things like this. We say, if it is to be, it's up to me. Something we heard off of a postcard or TV or something. Or how about this one? God helps those who help themselves. How many of you think that's in the Bible? It's not. It's Benjamin Franklin. And guess what? He wasn't in tune with God. I'll tell you that right now, because God said the exact opposite. God said it's not up to you at all. He said it's up to God working through you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we need to basically allow God to do what he desires to do and let him be in control. Now, Mary learned this lesson. It says, Mary asked the angel, but how can I have a baby? I'm a virgin. But how? Circle those words. How can I have a baby? Our typical reaction is, but how, when we run into situations that cause us to be overwhelmed. But how am I going to get this done on time? But how am I going to meet that deadline? But how am I going to make that payment? But how am I going to solve that problem? But how am I going to get that person, that son, that daughter, that spouse to love me again? We ask the but how question. Now notice that Mary didn't doubt God. She was perplexed. She was confused. But when the angel said that she was going to be the mother of the Son of God, she didn't say, no way, I'm out of here. Please go find some other virgin out there. No, she went, wow. There is a big difference between no way and wow, how. No way is disbelief and rejection. Wow is amazement. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm amazed. I know God is in this. Now, I want to ask you, are you a wow, how person? Or are you a no way person? My experience with rubbing shoulders with the general Christian populace is that there are those that exhort me when I see them. Invariably, they seem to always be a genuine wow person. In general conversation, there is this, wow, I can't believe how different my marriage is now than it was 3 years ago. Wow, I can't believe what my child said to me. It was much too wise for a child that young. Wow, when I look back to what I was doing with my life a year ago and what I'm doing now, I just can't believe it. God is a Savior. God does work in my life. There is a general sense of the amazement and the understanding or the recognition that God is active in their life. And these people have a general personality, I'll call it, of being a wow person. I know it's got to be God. This isn't to say that they don't have overwhelming moments in their life. They admit that, well, hey, life is no bed of roses. But back to Mary and wow, how? Mary's question is legitimate. And God doesn't mind you asking how. In fact, I think it's really a human tendency for us to ask, how are you going to do this? But God usually answers in the same way. Notice the response. Oh, I guess not. There was no response. Okay. A genuine question of God about how this can happen. How can a virgin have a baby? Good question. The response of God is, nothing is impossible with God. Basically, God is saying, I've got it under control. Now, this is not the answer that Leonard Moi wants. I want a blueprint. I want God to send me a fax. And it says, hey, here is the steps you take. You go 30 paces straight forward, then you go 20 paces to the right. I want it outlined, action steps. That's what I want from God. And do you know what? Most of us are that way. How is this going to happen? And most of us, we get all tensed up because we don't get that answer. Instead, we just get the answer, trust me, I have everything under control. Nothing is impossible with God. That is what was the statement to Mary. Nothing is impossible with God. God says, I have control of the situation. Don't get worried. Don't sweat it. Give up your control. You need to understand that what is out of your control is not out of God's control. Let me ask you this question this morning. What's bugging you in your life today because you can't control it? It's not out of God's control. When Mary understood this, we read that she says, I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true. Do you hear the attitude of surrender? I accept whatever he wants. We as human beings, that is where we are supposed to be. You're God, I'm not. Whatever you want. I can believe this. I'm willing to give up control. That's what Mary was saying. Whatever you want, Lord. Now, that's contrary to my disposition and from what I've learned from most humans' disposition. This is hard. I know that this is not easy because I'm a control freak in a very few areas of my life. How many of you would say that in some area of your life, you tend to be a control freak? Yeah, okay. How many of you would say that you're married to a control freak? Yeah. Earlier, one woman said, didn't I tell you to put your hand down? Or did I tell you to put your hand up? Right. Here's the problem. Man seems to have an innate desire to be in control. Secretly, you know you would make everything better. Whatever it is, you can do it better. If they would only let you rule the world, everything would be fine. This is all you ask. If everybody in your family would do it your way. If your business would just do it your way. If the city council would do it your way. If everybody would vote your way. If your church would just do it your way, life would be grand. So you have this need to control, and when things don't happen your way, it just bugs you, doesn't it? Well, there's a verse in the Bible that's just for all of us control freaks. Trust in the Lord. Trust. Wow. That just cuts right across my control freakiness. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. This verse says you don't have to figure everything out. One of the most important lessons in this life is that you don't always have to figure out God. In fact, you can't figure out God. If you try to figure out God, you're going to be frustrated. If you try to figure out God, you're going to get a headache because God is much bigger than you, than your puny brain can handle. Think about it this way. I go through this probably once a month where I go, wow, how smart is God? Let's see. His intelligence, his IQ is umpteen zillion, 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 zillion. Okay? And over here is you, right? Let's see. He's umpteen zillion, zillion, and you are, if you're a genius, 200. Little difference there. You can't figure out God. God is unfigure-outable. God's omniscient, omnipotent, and unfigure-outable. This is the reason why the verse says God's ways are above your ways. Now look at what God promised in Psalms 138:8. The Lord will work out His, circle His, plans for your life. Circle the word His. The Bible doesn't say that the Lord will work out my plans for my life. A lot of people believe this is what the Bible teaches, or they at least act like it. Or the Lord will work out the plans I want for my life if I pray hard enough. No, it says the Lord will work out His plans for my life. A little different than the way we may want it. Here's three reasons why it is His plans and not ours. First of all, God's plans are often bigger than mine. All Mary and Joseph wanted was to get married, get a condo in the suburbs, have 2.3 kids, live a happy, middle-class, comfortable life, like most Americans. But God had other plans. Listen to what God's plan is. God's plan was to bless the whole world for generations through Mary. Slightly bigger. God's plans for you are bigger than you can comprehend. We so often only think in the context of just our little world. When God sees from a giant spectrum, and He has you
and He wants you. And He plans for you to have an effect in the eternities. Secondly, God's plans are more painful than mine. They're more difficult. I knew you'd love this one, pain, you know. God's plan was a lot more difficult than the one Mary planned. Mary was having a baby under suspicious circumstances. An unwed mother, at least at first. The gossip must have been unbearable. Could have even been vicious. And then there were a lot of other things where there was pain in her life because of her son. Think about the fact that she was 8+ months pregnant and she went on a long journey to Bethlehem. Come on, ladies, think about it. Do you think that was easy? I'm sure she asked God, why this stupid Roman census while I'm pregnant? Couldn't it have waited a couple of months? And then think about this. She ended up having birth, not in a hospital, in a barn with a bunch of dumb animals around. Not my idea of a week off from work in a 5-star resort. That's my idea, the plan for my life. That's not necessarily God's. She must have thought 1,000 times, why does it have to be this hard? She may not have been totally aware that when she went down to Bethlehem that this was fulfilling Old Testament prophecy from hundreds of years before by being in Bethlehem. God's plan can be difficult. Third, God's plan is always better than your plan. God's plan is from an eternal perspective. She could never fully understand while she was in this life all the ramifications of being the mother of Jesus. Let me shock some of you. God is not primarily interested in your comfort. Our culture says that that's what's most important. No. He may not be interested in your comfort at all. His overall interest is making you Christ-like. This is why being overwhelmed can actually be good for you. God may actually let you feel overwhelmed because it may cause you to go to your knees and surrender to Him. Whatever you want, Lord. And God may say that is exactly where He wants you. So I need to let go of my foolish attempts to control the uncontrollable, and then I need to do the second thing that Mary did. I need to let others help me. This is the opposite of what we basically have a tendency to do. I've noticed over the years that when people are overwhelmed, they start withdrawing. They isolate. They pull back. Just leave me alone. Just let me hunker in a bunker. I see this all the time in church. They have a big problem in their life. They begin to back away. They begin to leave the small cell group. They start pulling away from church. They drop out. But how did Mary handle this sense of being overwhelmed? Well, it says that at that time, it means that almost immediately after the angel Gabriel talked to Mary, Mary, I think she thought about it and said, you know what, I don't think that my slumber party group of girls on Friday night is really who I want to discuss, you know, being pregnant with. So I think I need to find somebody who's, for lack of a better expression, a little more mature. And so it says here that immediately she got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Who was Elizabeth? She was Mary's cousin. Mary said, I need a friend. I can just imagine, 13 years old and having seen an angel, I bet she really wanted to talk about it. Well, but here's three things I want you to understand or learn from Elizabeth. Elizabeth was a godly woman. She was a priest's wife. She knew how to pray and minister. God was very important to Elizabeth. Number two, she was an older woman. She had more life experience. She was wiser. Number three, she was a pregnant woman. She was further along with her own miracle pregnancy. She was pregnant with John the Baptist. And so because she was farther along in a similar situation, she could help Mary along at this time where she felt overwhelmed. Listen carefully. The point is that when you are overwhelmed, and even before you're overwhelmed, you need to find or have an Elizabeth in your life. A godly person, a strong believer. A person centered in God, an older person, or a person who has experience with life, someone who is pregnant. You'll get it. No, you don't need somebody. Just kidding. A person who is further along, in the same situation that you are in. This person does not need to be perfect. In fact, you're not going to find anybody that's perfect. But you do need a spiritual partner, a mentor, a sponsor. You need somebody. You need an Elizabeth in your life. In my own life, about 6 years ago, I went through a period where I was challenged in my own heart. I realized that I had no real close male friends. And God was basically speaking to me, and he was basically saying, you need to hook up. And so I got involved in some ministries. It was in the process of ministering. It was in that process that God opened up the hearts and caused me to be drawn into close communion, into close relationship, where Jesus was at the center. And I can tell you that my life for the last 5 years has been exceedingly different and a whole lot more joyful. And it has been great in having a relationship, a close goomba, best buddy relationship with somebody, with a couple of men in this church. We exhort one another. We also rebuke each other once in a while. But anyway, we won't go into that. But we need to hear the voice of God through a person that you are hooked up with in Christ. I looked around here, and this thing is coming up next week. Now, my control freakiness, if it was allowed just to do whatever it wanted to do, I would lasso every one of you and make sure that you're there. Because in that process, I believe in that process, there is the chance, there is the availability that you can ultimately have an Elizabeth in your life. That you can have a partner that Jesus will enrich your life with as he works through both of your lives in tandem. This is what the Bible says. Two are better than one. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. And I think that's even talking about spiritually. That one of the best ways to keep from, so to speak, falling spiritually is to have somebody who is God-centered, who is an Elizabeth, and can ultimately exhort you at the time where you may be pulling away. Did you know that Jesus himself needed a friend? The perfect one, the Son of God, the sinless one. He needed a friend. Look at what Jesus says here. This is just before he's going to be crucified, and Jesus said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed." Jesus went through the activity of sensing and feeling overwhelmed. And he says here that he says, "I'm overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Now, Jesus was overwhelmed. This tells me something. To feel overwhelmed is not a sin. Jesus stated to the three, though, he showed his humanity. He says, "Hey, in this time of torment, in this time of being overwhelmed, I need you at this major moment in my life to stand with me." And so he called upon his three disciples. Mary had Elizabeth. Jesus had his disciples. Who do you have in your life? Who's your Elizabeth? Well, let's go on. The last one is, let God give you strength. When you are feeling overwhelmed, first, praising God for his goodness is a good way to find the strength of God. There is something about praise that puts me in touch with how big God is and therefore how safe I am in him. No matter what's going on around me, no matter what my circumstances are, there is enormous power in praise. Because it gets my mind off my problem and feeling and onto the solution, off the circumstances and onto the Savior. I have to stop and figure God into the equation when I begin to praise. Now, I don't know about you. I've had experiences, I know this may really surprise you, but I've had experiences where I was just so wrapped up in something that just really jerked my chain. And I've had a friend, and I'd be sitting there, and I'm just going like this. Just complaining. And I'm just so into it, it's just really got me going. Finally, when I finally take a breath, and I'm long-winded, and so finally when I take a breath, my friend says, "Hey, where's God in all that?" All of a sudden, God comes into the equation. I usually stand there with my mouth wide open going, "Huh, yeah, right." But this brings God into the dimension. And I have to stop a moment. And all of a sudden, I realize that this whole issue, that there is a God viewpoint. There is something about God in this. And I have to consider that. And it does something for me that ultimately helps me to overcome or helps me to cope with the overwhelming circumstance of that moment. Mary understood this. She says here, she says there, "Oh, how I praise the Lord, how I rejoice in God my Savior." When you hit a wall, you need to take the time to think of God's goodness. Start by praising Him for who He is. And secondly, you need to praise Him for those things where you know He's touched your life. You need to go back to the moments, the experiences, the things that have really been strengthening in you. Maybe it's a verse. Maybe it's an experience that you know God was in. And then when you do that, God becomes bigger than the sense of overwhelming. Now, secondly here, God strengthens me by meditating on God's word. Mary sang a song, and part of it was praise, and part of it was also quoting Old Testament scripture. And from this, we obviously know that Mary had learned a great deal of Old Testament scripture. And she weaves this scripture into the song she sings. It's called the Magnificat. And this is the same thing for you and I. Scripture will give you confidence and a sense of serenity. Mary had her promises spoken, but we also have the biblical promises. Now, some person has discovered or done the research and found that there is over 7,000 promises in God's Word. And the fact is that basically, in order to combat, so to speak, the sense of feeling overwhelmed, you need and I need to ultimately learn these promises. I grew up in a home where my mom used to put this ceramic bread thing in the middle with these little cards in it, the daily bread. And we used to have to pick one up every morning, and we would read it. It was the promise from God, and we used to have to meditate on it. And if that's your style, then that's great. If it's your style that you love to just read at different promises, and there's books out, you know, the 100 promises, which are for the 20th century person and the American person or whatever the title may be. Every Bible bookstore has them, and I just want to exhort you. Go get one if promises in that general way is what really makes a difference in your life. I learned as a young guy that I began to read the Bible chapters, a chapter a day, and when I'm overwhelmed, I tend to read two or three chapters. But I will read a chapter, and for me, I find that God shows me a promise or God shows me something that is pregnant with meaning out of that chapter. I consider myself to be one of these guys that, you know, things kind of jump off the page, slap me in the face and says, "Hey, here, this is for you." That's what happens to me when I read. And so I digest, and then I meditate on those. I treasure those things in my heart. Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart, and she thought about them often. Now, we all put things into our head. Did you know that? God made man a learning animal. You will absorb information one way or another. We all pick up things in this life that stick in our minds. We all have memorized such as our parents have said, TV commercials, jingles, or we can sing along with a song on the radio. And when life is overwhelming, when you're troubled, what's in your subconscious, what you have memorized, what you have filled your mind with comes to the surface. It comes to your conscious mind. So learn the promises of God for your sanity and for strength when you are feeling overwhelmed. I want to close with an Old Testament prophet. Again, a person that we would probably say, "Hey, he's a strong Christian because, well, he wrote part of the Bible." And this person's name is Micah, and this is what he said: "I'm overwhelmed with sorrow, sunk in a swamp of despair." Can you relate to that? He's really down. But I love what he says next. Because, you see, he says, but for me, I'm not giving up. But notice his focus here. It's not like I'm going to lift myself by my bootstraps and I'm just going to bear this baby out. No, he says, I'm not giving up. I'm sticking around to see what God will do. God's in this somehow. And somehow or other, at the end of this thing, God is going to teach me. God is going to exhort me. Somehow, something good is going to happen out of this. I'm waiting for God to make things right. I like that. Instead of getting caught up and bogged down in the depression, the feeling of being overwhelmed, he says, hey, I know where I'm at now. I am overwhelmed, but I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to see what God will do. Let's bow our heads. I just want to pray for you if you're feeling overwhelmed. Jesus, I just pray for each person that's here that they would remember this if they're not overwhelmed now, but at the time, Jesus, that things happen in their life that seem beyond their capabilities. I pray, Father, that they would remember that all things are possible with you, Jesus. Nothing is impossible. I pray, Father, that they would remember also, Jesus, that you're in control and that they don't have to be in control. And Father, I pray that each person, Father, may have an Elizabeth. Father, someone that they can have stand by them when they are overwhelmed. Jesus, and may they find strength through praise and through your promises. I pray, Father, that each person here would be exhorted in you to glorify your name, and that they would be strengthened, Jesus, by the realization that you care and that you love them, and that your plans are bigger and broader than theirs. Now, I just pray these things in the power of your name. I pray it, Jesus, in your name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.